Welcome to Writer Pants on Fire, where authors talk about things that never happened to people who don't exist. I'm your host, Mindy McGinnis. You can check out my books and social media at mindymcginnis.com and visit the Writer Pants on Fire blog at writerpantsonfire.blogspot.com. It's time for the roundup of what happened this month on the podcast. On April 3rd, YA sci-fi author Lydia Kang spoke with me about writing across multiple genres, the amount of research required in order to get details right, and how mistakes are inevitable regardless. For April 10th, I welcomed my first middle grade author, Janet Sumner Johnson, who talked about the challenge of writing for middle graders, the assumption that books for children are somehow lesser than books written for adults, as well as the question of what content to include for younger readers. And April 24th brought my first adult historical fiction author, Sophie Perrineau, who shared on Querying the Old-Fashioned Way, the brutal truth about agented projects that don't sell, as well as the necessary research required for writing historical fiction while keeping story as the focus. Is there someone you'd like for me to interview or a particular genre you'd like to learn more about? Let me know. Email me at mindy@mindymcginnis.com with the subject line podcast, and I'll do my best. As always, if you've found the podcast helpful in any way, please consider donating to help cover my costs for hosting and distribution. You can pledge as little as $1 on a monthly basis by visiting patron.podbean.com/writer-writer-pants-on-fire. Or if you prefer to make a one-time donation, you can send money through PayPal or buy me a coffee by visiting writer-writer-pants-on-fire.blogspot.com/p/podcast. About a year ago, I started offering manuscript critique services for aspiring authors. I give the kind of feedback that I want from my own critique partners, a heavy dose of tough love along with a touch of praise. The tough love is what makes all writers improve. The touch of praise is there because creating is a difficult job, and even the act of putting words to the page deserves recognition. What doesn't deserve recognition is every footfall, head turn, eyebrow raise, nose scratch, and finger twitch of any character. This is a hang-up of mine, and I freely admit that I often go too far in the other direction and have one or more of my trusted critique partners let me know that my characters went from talking in the library to riding in a car without a transition. And no, that's not acceptable. What is acceptable? Movement pertinent to plot and setting. Is your character shielding their eyes from the hot California sun? Bingo. That matters because you just found a way to get setting in there without saying, "I live in California." Is your character scratching their nose because they're allergic to cats and that fact plays into the meet cute you've got planned with the manager of the local humane society? Okay, cool. This is the kind of movement that matters because it's relevant. But too much character movement can kill a scene. So if you've got dialogue that reads like this, "I don't understand," Samantha said, her eyebrows coming together. It doesn't work, in my opinion. The eyebrows coming together are to illustrate confusion, but the confusion is already there in the words she said. What's happening here is that you're trying too hard to control the picture. You want your reader to see what you see, and that means you're overwriting. The nose scratch shows confusion or nervousness, but good dialogue will show that on its own. Let your reader fill in the body language. There are ways to shave down your word count even within a single movement. For example, the character I mentioned before shielding their eyes from the California sun. Listen. "I raise my hand, shielding my eyes from the California sun." Technically, this is fine. There's nothing wrong with the sentence. But it could also read like this. "I shield my eyes from the California sun." Two things just happened. You lost your passive ing verb tense and cut down your word count by four words. The fact that the character raised their hand to shield their eyes is implied. Sure, they could be using any number of objects to shield their eyes, a book, a parking ticket, their small pet dog, but does it really matter? Or is it more important plot-wise to move on to the next thing that happens? Like, "I shield my eyes from the California sun to see..." You tell me what they see. I don't know. It heavily depends upon your genre. Another easy word count fix and common sense autofill is specifying body parts alongside the verb in question. For example, "I reach for the flashlight with my hand." Your reader is going to know that anything your character reaches for, picks up, drops, or grips tightly is probably being done with a hand. We also know that you chew things with your mouth and walk on your feet, yet you'd be surprised how often aspiring authors specify these things. A bigger and more complicated issue with character movement is getting characters from one point to another. If it's not all that important, throw in a scene break. If they're in school for a scene, and then the next thing that happens relevant to the story is over dinner, scene break. You don't need to fill in with meaningless stuff just to make time pass. Your book isn't delivered in real time. We assume things happened in between first period and dinner, but that it doesn't matter to the story. You don't narrate every time your character eats, drinks, bathes, or go to the bathroom. We assume they do these things. Getting them from one place to another within a scene can be trickier. You don't want a scene break every time the setting changes, or you'll have a bunch of two-paragraph chapters. If you start with your character waking up, which don't do that, it's a trope, but, and the next thing is them eating breakfast, you don't have to narrate that they went downstairs. We figure that out on our own. The best way to move people around within a scene is to let them have a conversation. Example. Cat or dog, I ask, as I hold the door open for the woman leaving the pizza place after me. Pepperoni, she says. Classic, I say, careful not to follow too close and freak her out as we cross the parking lot. But I meant the hair on your coat. Right. She's got her door open and is clearly ready to make an exit without answering my question. I'm a veterinarian, I say quickly, which always seems to work. See how they move from a pizza shop to their cars? She even opened her door without too much explicit character movement. Also, I either just wrote a romance meet-cute or the beginning of a serial killer story. Not sure which one. Another quick tip about character movement, if you're writing in first person, be aware you don't have to use I see or I think. It's assumed. So, for example, if the character says, the person next to me is picking his nose, we know that they see it, because otherwise, how could they tell us? You don't have to say, I turn my head and I see the person next to me picking his nose. It's all implied. As always, remember that everything I say is subjective. This is me speaking about what I prefer to read and how I like to write. That being said, I do think that shaving down character movement gives your reader more freedom to visually interpret scenes in their own way, pulling them deeper into the book through that very interaction. And that is exactly where you want them. If you're interested in my manuscript critique services, visit www.writerwriterpantsonfire.blogspot.com and click on the Editorial Services tab. Writer, Writer, Pants on Fire is produced by Mindy McGinnis. Music by Jack Corbel. A special thank you to fellow author Alyssa Palombo and patrons Stephen Avery and R.C. Lewis for helping to make this episode possible. If you find the blog or podcast helpful, please consider showing your support by visiting patron.podbean.com/writer writer pants on fire and making a donation. I'm your host, Mindy McGinnis, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Writer, Writer, Pants on Fire, where authors talk about things that never happened to people who don't exist.